We've seen actually from that early, that other study that led to this ultrasound, the big ultrasound idea, you know, we've seen colostrum starting to be produced at 5-6 months of pregnancy, which I don't think people have thought a lot about. And we should be sending that paper out for review soon. But we have images that align actually. It was really cool. So this gets back to the power of the ultrasound. Like we can see a little bit of the milk already in the alveoli from a 5 month pregnant heifer and a 6 month pregnant heifer. So these are first time pregnant animals. I can only imagine in their second pregnancy.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Boost digestive health, performance, and profitability with Digesterone Prime, a feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in dairy calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime. Exalit, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Adiseo USA, producers of Smartamine M and MilkPay.com. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Agrarian Solutions, research-backed microbial solutions for healthier, higher-performing livestock. AgriComfort, the cow comfort specialist, because her longevity is your legacy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Dairy Podcast Show, brought to you by Wyzenetics. I'm Dr. Liz Eckelkamp, an associate professor and dairy extension specialist at the University of Tennessee. I'm joined today by Dr. Laura Hernandez, a professor of lactation biology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She specializes in calcium homeostasis, mammary gland adaptations throughout the transition period, and mammary involution during the dry period. Welcome, Laura. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Liz.
Really looking forward to this conversation. I think it's going to be really interesting. So today we're going to talk about the work that you've been doing with StopLac. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what StopLac is?
Sure. So StopLac is a newer product that's out on the market that has been used, and it was originally made or comes out of Europe. It functions to depress or shift rumen fermentation so that you can have an acceleration of dry off by reducing the types of nutrients going to the mammary gland, or at least that's the hypothesis. With the overall goal of being able to reduce the number of antibiotics we give animals so that they will stop producing milk quicker and have less mastitis, so that when they go into their next lactation, we're not having those early postpartum mastitis infections.
Yeah. So if you still have that really high producing cow that's about 2 months away from calving, it's like time to calm it down, girl. Let's back it down a little bit.
Okay. Exactly.
So with the work and the research you've been doing, how has using ultrasound and histological analysis helped in determining the impact of StopLac on udder dry off?
This is actually initially why the company approached me to kind of work in this space. So over like the last, 7 years, working, it seems, with my colleague, Dr. Joao Doria here in the department, to develop ultrasound as a reliable method to track mammary gland growth and development, potentially predict lactation potential, and in this case, as a method to evaluate the rate of dry off in a dairy cow. And so they had come to our poster at ADSA and were really interested in what we were doing, and asked if we thought we could apply it in this method, if there was some features of the tissue that potentially we could observe a reduction in milk production by using the ultrasound methodology, because, well, A, this is something that would be really easily and practically defined on a dairy farm. So like if a veterinarian wanted to come and check, like very quickly, they could come and see that maybe this particular feature or that particular feature shows that the tissue is drying off quicker. And so there's less milk production, and the gland's doing what we hope it would be doing. Or even potentially if you trained to like a staff to do that, if they had an ultrasound on their farm, possibly could do it that way too. And they wanted us, because of my expertise in mammary gland biology as a whole, to be able to look at histological characteristics of the tissue that coincided with this assessment, and also aligns with, you know, potential markers in the blood that are indicative of a more like rapid rate of involution or dry off. And because when you're looking at these dry period experiments, like I am familiar with them, did several of them as a grad student, have helped in others. The point is to stop milking the cow. And one of the endpoints is, did milk production go down? And you don't want to keep milking the cow if that's what you're trying to do. And so this was one way to get at that. And additionally, because we have a lot of expertise with biopsy techniques in my lab, they wanted us to validate this histologically, that we're seeing these phenomena, that the alveoli are doing what they should be doing, and align that with the ultrasound, which is what we've been doing on a different project, more practically, for a lot of different reasons with ultrasound and histological identification. So that was why they came to talk to me. And then they were like, we really want you to do this. So we have now done a pilot project with them, and we are proceeding with and we're about to start the larger study to kind of start looking at these features that we found that appear to be indicative, at least, of what we think is happening. So
imagine a dry off day that doesn't clog your parlor. Choose optimal dry cow care with AHV StopLac. StopLac delivers operational ease and parlor efficiency at dry off with one dose and one touch for a gentle, comfortable transition into the dry period. Learn more at ahvint.com.
Are there any teasers you can give us?
Sure. Like, one of the things that we observed, what's awesome about ruminants is they have cisternal capacity, which other mammals don't. And so we've been like taking all our typical measurements, and then we're just exploring, because it's easy with the ultrasound to kind of look around what might be interesting and taking shots, images everywhere. And one of the ones that looks promising is the gland cistern, that seems to be indicative of a reduction, or the size and potentially area of that could be indicative of a faster dry off. And so that is why now we are doing the larger study, so we have enough power to detect this. And it seems also to correlate well with the alveolar structures and what we see there, and what we know is like a drying off gland. And so now that we at least partially know what we're looking for, we're doing a bigger study that we're starting this summer explore this further.
Are you going to have a poster or anything like that at ADSA talking about some of your preliminary findings?
I wish. No, that's a great question. And I wish we did. We just did the pilot this spring. So it was not in time to submit data to ADSA. But I'd be happy to talk to anyone that has interest in what we're doing there. We're really excited about it, and excited in general that there is this opportunity that we could reduce antimicrobial usage and antibiotic usage in these animals. And that would do a lot for our industry as a whole. And as this is the push, you know, one from an animal health perspective, but also on a human health side, that's a really like benefit that might come out of this, and this product that had been used in Europe for a while. So
they always get everything first. It's not fair.
They do.
If you're enjoying this episode of the Dairy Podcast Show presented by Wyzenetics, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it with your friends and family. You can also turn on notifications from our channel so you never miss an episode. Please feel free to leave us your comments at any time, because we definitely want to hear from you.
The next giant leap in dairy profitability is here. Introducing AffiColler Feed Efficiency Service from AffiMilk, the first sensor to accurately measure individual cow dry matter intake.
combined individual feed consumption with milk production data to get profitability insights never before available. Hear from producers who are using it to make a big impact on profitability and sustainability at affymilk.com.
So how do you think your research will help determine how Stop Black Boluses impact milk secretion within the mammary gland itself? I know that was kind of the teaser we just talked about. So.
Right. No, that's great. Exactly. So in this bigger study that we're doing, we plan to explore various things like junctional complexes, some more things related to potentially infection. So some markers of inflammatory pathways that we would expect that we can do through immunostaining, but also other molecular techniques like qPCR sequencing kind of things. The other things that we can do. So when I did a project with Dr. Pamela Ruig, quite a time ago when she was still at Wisconsin. And one of the things we learned, and again, I mentioned the cisternal space earlier, but we're able to collect milk from the cistern. And so we developed a way to do that. And so we can actually take milk samples as these animals are, you know, going down in production, and we can measure things in the milk like sodium and potassium that are indicative of the opening in those epithelial cells that would allow for milk to go out into the blood and blood to come into the milk. So we know what the rate of dry off would be. And similarly in the blood, we can measure things like blood lactose concentrations, which shouldn't be in the blood. If those junctional complexes are really tightly closed, we would expect none of that going into the circulation. And so that'll help us really get at like what's happening in the cells and potentially what's happening microbiologically through some of the milk collection, if we can use that in that way. And we'll be able to also, as part of this, we're using some of this methodology that we have been working on with Dr. Dorea on doing some things related to AI and how we can extract these features much quicker that would give you an interpretation much faster. And so for the last, like I mentioned earlier, 7 years, my now postdoc, soon to be med student, previous grad student who worked with Joao and I, she was the human AI. So she has done like all the annotations with an army of undergrads some other grad students in my lab. And her and his lab, with their really excellent computational power, have been working on using things that we can from the ultrasound and how to annotate them and confirm them with microstructure, the image from the ultrasound, and then working that into a pipeline where we have really good ground truth data to build a really good predictive AI model that is like directly correlated to real ground truth measurements that we've made. And so we're hoping that like long term that, you know, both for this project and potentially future, that we would be able to like, this would be yet another application of our work when we set out to understand how ultrasound could be useful in this sort of setting, that like we could do it for, you know, mastitis potential. We could do it for dry off potential, milk production potential, growth potential. And so like it's been really amazing. And we've done that with cows and using cows as a model. And we've had several papers published like on the more basic sorts of that. But we're also like doing it in an application for human health. And we actually have a human feasibility study going on with some partners at the med school here at UW. So like really understanding mammary gland biology and like these infections and the growth and the production and seeing how it works in all these ways. And so when the group from AHV approached me at ADSA last year, they were like, we've seen some of these things you've been doing and we thought it might be really applicable to us. And in a dry off situation, we have a really hard time, right? Because you're like milking the cow is defeating the purpose. And this will hopefully allow us to kind of get at that and be really applicable in their work, as well as in the greater dairy science community.
This also wasn't one of the questions, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
So if your ultrasounds are showing that that animal is not ready to be dried off, like even with that product, what do we do? What are our next steps? Because if we're like, you know, 2 months away, if we don't, we start to see some really negative downstream effects on colostrum, calf health, you know, future production of that next generation, then her next lactation. So what do we do?
Well, and I think that's where, so we're just using their like stop lack bolus, but they have a whole regimen, of which I have not used. We've only been using the one bolus that they give a day, that we give a day before calving, essentially, or around the time of not calving, excuse me, but of dry off. But they have like a whole system, shall we say, that I think is meant to help through several of these events. And you know, from my perspective, I really think that there are things we can do probably nutritionally that last couple months of lactation that might help bring production down to a level that makes more sense for dry off in order to allow the gland to really regenerate itself. And so I think when we don't do that well, at least potentially there's an impact on the colostrum and the subsequent health of the offspring. And one thing we do know that we've seen actually from that early, that other study that led to this ultrasound, the big ultrasound idea, you know, we've seen colostrum starting to be produced at 5-6 months of pregnancy, which I don't think people have thought a lot about. And we should be sending that paper out for review soon. But we have images that align actually. It was really cool. So this gets back to the power of the ultrasound. Like we can see a little bit of the milk already in the alveoli from a 5 month pregnant heifer and a 6 month pregnant heifer. So these are first time pregnant animals. I can only imagine in their second pregnancy. But we also see some of that milk starting to come down and observable on the ultrasound. And when she showed me that, I was like, no way. That was like literally my response. I didn't know how sensitive it could be. And so I think there's some real potential there that like using the ultrasound even earlier and helping with some of these different feed programs that are meant to like either help like slowly drive production down, or like adapt things that we can, in the late, lactation period, whether it's energy or it's stuff like the stop lack regimen or their greater bolus regimen, or some of these other like additives, or, I know in some cases, like, they just start to feed less, and then in like grazing places, they might go to a once day milking. That's not really practical in the US, so to speak, but like there are a lot of tools available that we could make use of now that we kind of know that colostrum is probably forming sooner, or at least the secretion, if we don't want to call it formal colostrum, it's there's secretions. And so I do think, you know, we do a lot to offspring that we don't know. And unintentionally, we just didn't realize it.
Yeah. We're always learning more. Yeah. We had our 20-week ultrasound for our second pregnancy last Friday. Yeah. We're really excited. I'm getting ready to be a lactating dairy cow again. I guess I've been there for a while, but our ultrasound tech made the comment of it's all just shades of gray, but it is amazing what looking at those shades of gray can tell you on an ultrasound.
It's really incredible. And that's where I think we have a lot of potential here to make this useful. So,
well, thank you so much for your time and sharing what you've learned about stop lack with our listeners. I do have a few questions before we end the episode. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Want a herd management software designed for you? BovaSync is helping herds by managing data faster and easier. Contact BovaSync today to learn more. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Accurately measure individual cow feed efficiency with the newest advancement from AffiMilk. Visit AffiMilk.com to learn more. That's AffiMilk.com. Evonik Animal Nutrition, sciencing the global food challenges. Cow Manager, ahead of the herd together. Safe, simple, stop lack. Contact AHV for comfortable dry cow care. Reduce dyscalcemia and simplify transition cow care with Cowbell Pro from Chemlock Nutrition. Adiseo, a global leader in nutritional solutions and the provider of Smartamine M, the best-in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production, capture more value from their components, and maintain the lifetime performance of their herds. For more product information and to calculate your return on investment when you balance your feed with amino acids, go to milkpay.com.
What is your favorite dairy-related book or resource?
Milk. That's the name of the book. Okay. I forget the author.
It's a great book. Great name.
Yes, it's Milk. And I had lent it to someone, so that's why I was looking for it on my shelf. But the author, he's a food author, I believe, but he wrote like Salt, Milk, and then there's another one. And it is amazing because it talks about the evolution of milk and like how societies have used it and sometimes how it's been a bad rap. And it talks about like the history of it. Really cool book. Really good book. And I think for anyone who loves lactation, a very fun book to read.
Very so, applicable.
Yes.
We love the history of our subject. So outside of dairy, what is your favorite book?
I read a lot of variety of things from fiction and nonfiction, but I am always happy when a new John Sanford novel comes out. So all of the Prey novels, love them, have read them for a long time. And I like all of the storylines, but I'm an avid reader. I like a lot of different kinds of books, but that I love to read a good crime novel.
I end up doing a lot more like audiobooks and then like crime podcasts because I keep having a hard time carving out time to actually read, but my ears love a good audiobook.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
So in your opinion, what sets successful dairy professionals apart from those that are less successful?
I really think really successful dairy professionals are always curious. They're curious about why something might happen on their farm, to something that if you work for a company and you're out consulting, you want to know why it happened. And being willing to go out to seek the knowledge, at least to understand. And I think those are the people that do really well, like from the farmers all the way to faculty members or the vets, all the students that come in here and love whatever it might be about dairy, whether they're going back home or they're new to the dairy space and they are like me, come from a big city and fell in love with cows when they went to college. They're curious about why it's happening. And then they go and they try to work with the people that have the knowledge to make their animals the healthiest that they can be. And I really think that's how they do well for themselves.
I love meeting another dairy person who came to it from the city. It's like, there's more of us. Well, that's going to conclude another episode of the Dairy Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Dr. Hernandez, thank you again so much for your time and expertise. This was a lovely discussion. And thank you to all of you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is invaluable to us. Until next time, this is Dr. Liz Eckelkamp from the Dairy Podcast Show signing off. Have a dairy great day.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.